You're listening to the Nonprofit Build-Up Podcast, and I'm your host, Nick Campbell. I want to support movements that can interrupt cycles of injustice and inequity and shift power towards vulnerable and marginalized communities. I've spent years working in and with nonprofits and philanthropies, and I know how important infrastructure is to outcomes. On this show, we'll talk about how to build capacity to transform the way you and your organization work.
Hi everyone, it's Katie T., Buildup's Program Coordinator. This week on the Nonprofit Buildup, we're continuing our conversation about general support funding. This episode was originally recorded as a webinar with Angeline Frazier-Giles, Executive Director at the National Network for Justice. In this episode, Nick gets technical and discusses how to request general support grants and how to structure these awards to nonprofits and social impact entities. Angeline and Nick also address how to build relationships and trust and redefine risk to effectively transition to general support. At BuildUp, we believe that in the majority of cases, general support is the most effective form of support that funders can provide to nonprofit organizations to support their programs, projects, and overall sustainability, which is why we're dedicating a significant amount of time on the podcast to discuss it. And with that, here is the second and final part of Nick's discussion about general support funding with Angeline Frazier-Giles.
And then I also want to turn it on to the nonprofits as well who are requesting grants, because yes, it's funders that are talking about awarding project support grants, but I also find that it's grantees that are just asking for project support grants. I think it's just because this is what we've been conditioned to do. So how do you actually request them? How do you put yourself in a position where you've been receiving project grants for years, and now you want to say, no, I actually want to receive general support grants, and I want that technical assistance support so that I can continue to build out the capacity of my organization and become more sustainable? How do you structure these grants to these innovative entities, right? Entities that are not public charities. They're just other nonprofits, or they just might be social impact entities. How do we structure those grants to do those things? And I think most importantly, how do you build relationships and trust and redefine risk, how you're thinking about risk to effectively transition to general support? Because I do think that without answering that final question, everything else is going to be sort of fits and starts, right? So you're going to see a wave of, hey, let's all do general support. And then you're going to see it sort of stall, and then you're going to see it start up again. And we've seen that already, right? We've seen the largest foundation say, we're going to focus on general support and providing more flexible awards. And then there's kind of been a stop, right? Encouraging other foundations to do the same, but there's been a stop. COVID then surfaces and it's, okay, well, let's convert to general support. This is great. Let's give all this general support so we can provide flexibility to these organizations. And now there's sort of a lull. So why do we keep having those lulls? I really think it's because at the core of it, we need to build those relationships and trust and think about and talk about how we're defining risk. But I've said a lot, and so I will stop there, Angeline, and turn it back over to you.
No, great, great information. I'm going to ask if anyone does have any questions, they can feel free to put it in the Q&A. But I have a couple of questions, and one of them has to do with the slide that talked about equivalency determination. And if you could just go over that a little bit, because I think I missed the first part of the concept in terms of foreign entities and how that relates to the nonprofit that is a U.S.-based nonprofit. Like, could you just explain that one a little bit more?
So when we talk about general support and this idea that we're giving flexible funding, unrestricted funding to organizations, some of the pushback or challenges might be, well, you can only do that with a U.S. public charity. You can only do that with an organization that is designated by the IRS as a public charity. And so when you start to deal with organizations that are not U.S. public charities, both within the United States and outside the United States, right, because it's grassroots organizations around the world working within communities, you can't then make those grants. So they have to be project support grants. Let's not even talk about flexibility when it comes to those organizations. And so equivalency determination comes in because it's a way of saying, we find that this organization that is based outside the United States is the equivalent of a U.S. public charity. Once you go through that process to make that determination, now that organization essentially can be treated just like a U.S. public charity. So that means that this organization that before this equivalency determination process was not eligible for this broad general support grant where you could support all aspects of the organization's work necessarily, now they can, because they have been seen and deemed to be the equivalent of a U.S. public charity. And so as a result, you're able to give broad support, just like you would give to a U.S. public charity. You can, you know, give them a lot of the flexibility and the options that you provide to U.S. public charities. So it's another tool to do that. And sometimes it just requires that you're going line by line through budgets when you're in expenditure responsibility. So now you're making a grant to an organization that's not a U.S. public charity. It's also based outside the U.S. And let's say you don't go through the equivalency determination process because for whatever reason, it just doesn't qualify. And it doesn't have to be for charitable reasons, but it just doesn't qualify. You can still award funding in a flexible way to that organization, right? You literally just have to go through budget line by budget line to ensure that it's charitable and that what you're supporting would be charitable, but you don't have to like designate it to a particular line item. So I think there's ways to do it. Equivalency determination is one, but also being creative in how you're thinking about supporting organizations that are not U.S. public charities, both within and outside the United States is another.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. We have a question, and I'm going to allow this person to talk if they want to say the question. I'll just open up your mic. And if you want to say your question, you are more than welcome to do so. And if not, I can also just read it. So whichever you prefer.
Cool. Thank you, Angela. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear.
Thank you so much. This is really fantastic info and really appreciate that this is a rare conversation in a lot of these spaces. So thank you, Nick, so much for presenting all of this. My question was around the challenge that I think a lot of smaller nonprofit organizations run into in general, which is if you're kind of a small fish, it's hard to get the attention of foundations at all to fund your work. And so then asking for general support seems like it's just out of the question. So I'm wondering if you find that there is a scale issue or a size issue that goes along with this, and if you have any suggestions for how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. So I appreciate the question. And I think what I've found, I'm not going to discount the fact that there is a size difference between a lot of the grassroots organizations that I work with and some of the largest funders, some of whom I work with as well. But I will say that scale, I think, is actually perception, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you are clear about your value add, if you are clear about this is what my organization does, this is our unique value proposition, this is what we're adding to this ecosystem, this is the kind of impact that we're having and the problem solving that we're doing with the community, it doesn't matter how, quote, small you are. It's about your impact and it's about how you're showing up. And so when you come to that conversation with a funder to say, you know, essentially, you know, we're having this conversation because you're interested in supporting us. If you're interested in supporting us and you're interested in supporting that impact, and so finding a way to, one, be clear about your impact and your unique value prop and what you're adding, but also being clear that general support, I don't think it's like, well, you should start with project and then you get general. It's that this is how you invest in this organization. This is how you invest in the people and the capacity and the building of this organization. And this is the way to do it. It's through general support grants. It's through capacity building grants. It's not through line item grants. And I think having that conversation, and again, if you have that relationship, that trusting relationship between whoever you're talking to at the foundation or the funder, and they have with whoever's talking to them from your organization, that conversation goes a lot easier, right? I think it's harder when people don't have the relationship. They also don't understand the risk, because at the end of the day, the funder is just thinking in terms of risk, right? You're thinking, is this risky? Will this actually pan out? And no one really has a shared understanding of what risk means. Risk to them can mean you're small, right? So you're risky. Mm. And if that's the case, then we need to be clear about why that is a risk as opposed to just being different. Why is it a risk as opposed to being an actual advantage, because you can now engage with the community in a way that a larger organization might not? So I think a lot of these points really just go around, how can you establish your impact? How can you make that clear to the funder? You also need a trusting relationship. And I know that's the hard thing to build, but I think you need a trusting relationship, because to be honest, even if you get a project support grant and that trusting relationship is not there, you're going to see it in the monitoring. You're going to see it in the reporting. You're going to see it in the way that you're engaging with each other anyway. So you need to build that trusting relationship in order for all of those things to come together, and see general support as an investment in this organization and getting them closer to the impact that they're saying that they want. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having the conversation with you. And so that's how I advise and counsel my clients to approach the conversation. We can talk about ways to be a little more creative if for some reason the organization might not want to provide general support, because sometimes that is the policy of the funder. And if that's the case, then we think about, how do we do this in a creative way, as opposed to just saying, okay, well, let's just default to project support grants.
So super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, it really was. Thank you. So in that same vein, I have a question regarding, you know, you talked about when the pandemic hit, you know, last year when everything shut down and folks were trying to do some of that basic support to communities, right? And after George Floyd, it was the conversation about race, and there was this reckoning for people who, you know, I guess didn't feel racism existed in this world. So there were all of these, you know, these moves, these shifts, right? Where we saw some of the organizations that we support, they then have to like shift their mission and focus, because the funders were then shifting their focus and various guidelines on funding. And you just talked about it slowing down, like it opened up, there was some general support, and then it's starting to slow down a little bit more, where they're now fully reevaluating, okay, where were we a year ago and how do we continue down that path, or do we need to structurally change things? And I'm just curious as to how you've been able to talk to folks about not changing their mission to fit that mold that you discussed about the funding that exists, and trying to find that one key word that's in your mission, that the one key word that's in the funding application, and really get people to really step back and maybe say, well, maybe that's not a good fit for me, because if I have to change my mission and my goals, mm-hmm. then I'm not being true to what my organization is about.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a really good question, right? Because I think what it puts into play for me is that a few things. The first is, if you're in an emergency situation as an organization and you have payroll or you have just needs that need to be met immediately, I think, yes, go, if you can pivot easily and get the funding, because it's about staying alive at this point. So I think if you're in that kind of dire a situation, I wouldn't then say, well, no, I'm just going to hold off and I'm not going to change because of all of these other things, which are all valid. But if you're in that emergency kind of situation, I would say, you know, pivot if you can and accept the funds, right? Because we want that lifeline. If you're not in that dire of a situation and you're just saying, look, we do need the funds, we need the revenue, how will we do that? Do we need to pivot? I think you are in a position that is saying a ton about your infrastructure, right? It's telling me that you are not diversified. It's telling me that something is missing in that compelling story that you're telling in order to fundraise, right? So it says to me that you might be telling a great story around impact, for example, how you're working with communities, but you're not necessarily telling a very good story about your infrastructure and all of the infrastructure that it takes to get to that impact. So I think that when you get to the point where you're thinking, should I pivot? Should I need this money? I need the revenue. it's actually a time to think about what in your infrastructure is not in place that has put you into this position. I think, you know, one very easily could be diversification of revenue, because, you know, there's a series that I do on Fridays. It's called Fastball Fridays. Just like a few minutes of a video, and we talk about infrastructure in each of those episodes. One of them that I put out is, can you say no to a grant? Like, are you in the position to say no to a grant because it does not align with the way you want to problem solve alongside the community that you're serving? And if your answer is no, Nick, actually, I can't say no to a grant at this point, then to me, it's a signal that we need to work on governance. We need to work on your capacity. We need to work on how you're doing your fundraising in terms of diversification of funding, who you are actually reaching out to. There's a lot of infrastructure pieces that I think that we should delve into that will actually strengthen your organization and put you in a much better place than you having to think about, should I have to take this money or not? So I think if you are at that stage and you have some space to at least say, look, it'd be nice to have, of course, but we actually don't need it right now, I would spend some time thinking about my infrastructure. I'm thinking about your board's engagement and involvement, oversight and accountability within the organization, how your capacity looks within your team, within your systems, your processes, because something has gotten you to the point where you are now thinking of pivoting, changing your mission. You're not talking about, you know, kind of a tweak. Mm-hmm. We're talking about you changing your mission, the way you work. I would say that you are almost at that stage of being really in dire condition. So it's a signal to me to start to focus on the infrastructure a lot more.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. That is, that's really telling, because I think we're all in the position of having to look at our organizations and determine whether or not what we're doing for the infrastructure is working. And is it sustainable over time? And asking yourself that question, can you turn down a grant? Because I think a lot of folks are also looking at situations where someone may be a great, you know, willing to offer you some money, but maybe it doesn't fit in with your heartstrings. So it may be what their mission is really not necessarily what, you know, you want to align yourself with. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to step back and look at that situation and say, well, maybe that is what we shouldn't do. Maybe we keep looking. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for looking at foundational grants versus more corporate type grants? And that goes along with what I was just talking about, making sure that that whatever the mission is of that corporation fits in with your model or your vision. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions or ideas on how to look at those?
Yeah, I think when it comes to fundraising and development, the work that I do around infrastructure necessarily touches on it, right? Because you want to make sure that you're strong enough to actually take funds, to actually go out and ask for funds. And so when I hear, when I ask organizations about donors, who are they receiving money from, who's in their donor base. And when it comes to fundraising and development, the work that I do around infrastructure necessarily touches on it, right? Because you want to make sure that you're strong enough to actually take funds, to actually go out and ask for funds. And so when I hear, when I ask organizations about donors, who are they receiving money from, who's in their donor base, and when I hear it's just all foundations, all private foundations, I like the fact that it's like diversified. It's not like two foundations or one foundation. But I always want to ask about, what about corporations? What about individuals? What about high net worth individuals? How about individuals that want to do sort of crowdsourcing, crowdfunding types of contributions? And if they have a strategic response to that, to say, oh, actually, here's why corporations are not necessarily interested, or here's why they're making up 2% of our donor base, I think that's fine. But I want to make sure that we've had the conversation and I've asked the question. Because you need to know who your ideal donor is, and you need to make sure you're as diversified as possible. I also think that we need to consider and explore earned income options and models as well. And again, it's not to say that it is for everyone. But again, I want to make sure that you've asked the question and you've had the conversation as to why it's not. And what I find a lot is that we start off from a place of we are just going after foundation grants. And I think that there's a lot of other types of donors out there that might be interested in the work that you're doing and the impact that you're having that are not foundations. And so it's a matter of having that strategic conversation around, does it make sense to have a campaign around corporations, around individuals, around different types of social impact entities that might be interested in the work that we're doing? And again, you may not come out saying yes to all of those things, but at least you've had the conversation and you've raised the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. So I have one other, and it's really not a question. It's just a statement for you to, first of all, say thank you so much for you being a partner with National Network for Justice. You have helped a couple of our members in their infrastructure and, you know, their strategic planning, and everybody loves you and thinks that you just are able to just put your thumb on the issue and really help a board and help the staff work through whatever the issues are that they're dealing with. So I want to thank you for that. And please tell people how they can get in touch with you, the other types, any type of service that you want to say that you are here for, that you are doing for folks. I know you are very, very busy. And so you taking the time out to do this for us is really, really appreciated. And just want to give you the opportunity to talk about
it. I really appreciate that, Angela. And as I mentioned at the top of our conversation, I do enjoy the work that we're doing together and all that NNJ is doing for its members and for the community generally. If people want to be in touch, I would love it if you would be. We have a podcast. It's called A Nonprofit Buildup. And so it'd be great if you could take a listen to our episodes and also subscribe, because we would love to have you hear all of the new episodes that are coming out. We have conversations with leaders and problem solvers within the sector about how to build infrastructure, fundraising and development, the same kinds of questions that we've talked through around, do we pivot if we need the money? What does that say about our message and about our organization and sustainability? So that's definitely one way. Another is to please sign up for our newsletter. We send it out weekly and we share lots of tips and resources within it. And you can just do that at our website, which is buildupadvisory.com. And you can sign up right there on the website. And right before you sign up, it'd be great if you could take a governance assessment, right? And so we offer a free governance assessment where you can go on to the assessment and you go through it, answer questions about your board. You can have your colleagues take it as well if there's more people on staff within your organization. And what we do is we take the information and then we come back with a governance assessment for you to give you an idea of where your organization is in terms of its governance and in terms of its development. So please pop on over to buildupadvisory.com, take the assessment, and also sign up for our newsletter.
Sounds great. I get the newsletter. NNJ was featured in the newsletter a couple times, so thank
you. Right.
So we appreciate that.
That concludes this week's episode. As you heard, general support allows nonprofits to have long-term vision while flexibly and easily addressing their immediate needs, which is particularly relevant in crises, as we saw when many funders quickly converted their project support grants to general support grants in the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. We are curious to know how you are thinking about general support funding as either a nonprofit or a funder. Send us your answers and infrastructure comments and questions to hello@buildupadvisory.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Nonprofit Buildup. To access the show notes, additional resources, and information on how you can work with us, please visit our website at buildupadvisory.com. We invite you to listen again next week as we share another episode about scaling impact by building infrastructure and capacity in the nonprofit sector. Keep building bravely.